and welcome. It's hour number four of the podcast, and we examine the over-the-top media reports about the Buccaneers' decision to sign Antonio Brown. It's a Shakespearean drama, according to the media, who seemingly are convinced that Bruce Arians is going to have buyer's remorse. We will examine if that's the case. We say no, by the way. We'll get to that and more here in hour number four. It's coming your way right now. Will it be a Brown out? Welcome in the beginning of another hour. It's the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond, sermonizing on the vast Fox Sports Radio Network as we emanate live from inside your eardrums. We're actually at the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, but we begin this hour with football. It's a story that's been percolating since the end of last week. It has picked up some angst over the weekend. We are talking about the curious case of one Antonio Brown. Now, Tampa Bay has been very impressive in recent weeks, back-to-back, out-of-this-world performances against teams deemed good. Tom Brady has been making me look like a donkey. He's been playing like a supernova. He's defying the aging process. And none of that is getting the headlines when you talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It is but one guy, and you know which guy that is. That is correct. Ding, 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 ding. Antonio Brown. It's all about Antonio Brown. He hasn't played a game yet in Tampa, and who knows how many games he will play. When he was a Patriot, he played just one game. But Antonio Brown is coming inbound to Tampa Bay, and the media alarmist. There's a wing of the media. Normally, you say, well, sports radio guys do sky is falling stuff. But when it comes to players like Antonio Brown, who have, to be kind, a checkered history, the media alarmists out there convince themselves and try to convince you that player X is the spawn of the devil and you are doomed if you sign him. And that is essentially what's going on. The media alarmists are out there. I'm like, oh my God, Antonio Brown, he's going to go to the Buccaneers and the entire operation is going to become unglued. It's going to come apart at the seams. Now, Bruce Arians has commented a lot in the last couple of days about this. I'm sure he'll be all over it in the days to come. He loves to talk to the media. But the comments he's made, now he's lied. Bruce Arians has lied when he said Tom Brady had nothing to do with this. We've already addressed that in previous episodes of the show. But my position is Bruce Arians will have nothing. You know, he will not have regrets. The media is saying he's going to have regrets, that Antonio Brown is snake venom. And why would you want to add snake venom when you know it's snake venom? It says on the label snake venom. So let us discuss the question, are the Buccaneers playing with fire by signing Antonio Brown? Because that's what these headlines on some of these stories are that are being written online. The Buccaneers playing with fire. What are they thinking in Tampa because of Antonio Brown? No, I am shaking my head. No, I'm shaking my head. No, I've got the surcharge, the merit badge, and Animal House. And we will combine all these things together and make some baba ganoush. Now, this is a wee bit overly dramatic. Just a tad overly dramatic. Now, I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, that this is a Shakespearean drama. I don't believe that's the case. So I would advise all those people freaking out, hyperventilating, having a coronary, however you want to say it, take a deep breath. The Buccaneers, my theory is simple. They have no choice. The Buccaneers' hands are tied when it comes to Antonio Brown. They have to do what they're told. Let me explain. Antonio Brown, as a football player, is the surcharge from Tom Brady. Tom Brady, when he left the Patriots and went to the Buccaneers, he has amassed, because he's been playing well here, my theory is that he has now had the LeBron effect, where now Tom Brady can snap his fingers and certain players end up following him to the Buccaneers. And what TB12 wants, TB12 gets. Buccaneers already paid some surcharge. They got Gronk. They paid the Gronk tax to pacify Tom Brady. He wanted Gronk with him in Tampa Bay. Bruce Arians, now listen, this guy can spin yarn with the best of them. And he certainly has done that since Antonio Brown agreed to terms. And he's talking about this being a team decision and not the decision of Tom Brady. And this is the Buccaneer front office and all that stuff. Well, it's disingenuous. And it's essentially living in a crap house, if you believe that. Tom Brady's fingerprints are all over this. All right, now part B, Mr. Big Chest. He is going to be on a very short leash here by the Buccaneers, as he would have been if he had gone anywhere else. Now, essentially, he is extra frosting on the cake. You don't need extra frosting on the cake. The cake can be fine with just a little bit of frosting. But you're not going to turn down extra frosting. Now, you're not going to say, oh, I don't want, it's too much frosting. No one says there's too much frosting on the cake. The idea that Antonio Brown is going to pass out a bottle of poison pills is comical, right? Like, Antonio Brown will be on his best behavior for a while. Think Boy Scout trying to grab the citizenship badge, the merit badge there, or the community merit badge, whatever they call it. I haven't been a Boy Scout in a long time. But the real test is going to come when Antonio Brown is not the man in the Buccaneer offense. It's hard to believe he would become the man. The Buccaneers have a pretty good thing going right now, and they certainly have some studs at the wide receiver position. So that is the real acid test. So Antonio Brown being on his good behavior, and he'll keep his nose clean and all that stuff. And certainly there's motivation for it financially, because if Antonio Brown can be on his best behavior, then he can go get a job somewhere else much easier after the season. But we're really going to find out if Antonio Brown is a changed man, if he's been with the Bucs for two or three games and he's gotten four targets. Then we're going to find out. As far as the whole Tony Robbins angle, which many people have said is the influence of Tom Brady, I don't know how you could disagree with that. Tony Robbins, like the whole fire-walking shtickla, which I know works for some people and all that, but it only gets you so far, right? It only gets you so far. Like, Tom Brady has guzzled the pseudoscience of Tony Robbins, and he's really bought into the whole rah-rah motivational spokesperson that Tony Robbins is. And Tony Robbins is, to his credit, he's been able to convince a lot of very powerful people, wealthy athletes and business moguls, to follow him over the hot coals and all that. So if Antonio Brown is unable to keep his nose clean, as we have said, then he will be tossed away like a half-eaten tuna fish sandwich. Just whoop, throw it away, right there in the trash. Now, the last word here. So the Buccaneers have been really good, really, really good in recent weeks. And we certainly ripped them at the beginning of the year. We didn't rip them. I just thought they would be a 9 or a 10-win team. They certainly look much better than that at this point. We know things change very quickly in the NFL. They kick the snot out of the Packers and just need the Raiders in the junk in back-to-back games, outscoring Green Bay and Las Vegas 83-30, the combined score. And you look at the loss, the two losses, week one against the Saints, and then they lost that one-point game on the Tom Brady doesn't know how many downs it is against Chicago. And so while all of this has gotten my attention, I'm still not all in on the Buccaneers. I still say there's a chance that this is all just a mirage. It's an early to mid-season mirage. The Buccaneers have decided to go all in with the animal house approach. Right? This is not your stuffy, buttoned-up Patriots with Tom Brady and Gronkowski back in the day. No, 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 no. This is the party time in Tampa, right? This is balloons, cake, booze, beautiful women all hanging out, having a great time. There's a lot of penalties. There's a lot of undisciplined football. Now, the Bucs have been a little bit better of late, but those tendencies are still there, and those are the kind of things that get you killed late in the season in playoff games when you have a bunch of self-inflicted Plaxico Burress type of wounds. Now, all of that being said, it's kind of obvious here, if this continues, then Tampa Bay absolutely is a legit big-time player at the grown-ups table in the NFC. They're at the grown-ups table, and they occasionally... Here's the thing about the Buccaneers. Statistically, they're one of the top defenses, if not the top defense, depending on which category you look at. But they actually play defense. They actually play defense. That is rare. They don't play great defense, but they play good defense for modern defense. Like modern 2020 defense. This defense wouldn't hold water if it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago. But right now, in the here and now, this defense is good by the standards of the NFL. And that gives them a leg up because they occasionally tackle somebody that is rare. We saw Sunday night, Seattle and Arizona. It's a joke. Both those teams are a joke. They've got a gaudy record, both of them, but they're not going anywhere. They can't stop anybody. Tom Brady has been having dinner with Ponce de Leon, al fresco, outside, of course, because he wants to be healthy, and drinking from the fountain of youth while he's at it. And he was absolutely deplorable. I was looking great. I was smelling myself after the first 2 weeks of the season because Tom Brady was the same guy that he had been the last couple of years with the Patriots. He was a middling quarterback for the Buccaneers the first couple of games of the year. And then, all of a sudden, ta-da! Hallelujah! Right? It's been vintage Tom Brady, and he looks like the salad days. The last five games, Tom Brady has 15 touchdowns and one interception. 15 touchdowns and one interception for Brady. He's got a passer rating of 111. He's only been sacked five times. He's averaging almost 7.5 yards per pass. Every one of those statistics, every one of those check marks is really good. Really, really good. And you can't say, well, they've only been playing bad teams. You can't say that. The Raiders are an average team, maybe a little bit slightly better than average. And the Buccaneers played the Packers at home. And Green Bay considered one of the better teams. I don't want to upset that cheese guy. But that's the reality of the situation here for the Buccaneers. But as far as Antonio Brown, again, is concerned, this is nothing. If he blows his nose and he makes a fuss, they'll get rid of him. The Patriots got rid of him. They'll get rid of him in Tampa, just like the Patriots did. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. If you would like to opine on any of that, you are more than welcome here at 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Also, all over social media, at Ben Maller. On Twitter, the Facebook page, Ben Maller Show, and also on the gram at Ben Maller on Fox, if you want to be part of any of these social media channels. Now, we must spend a couple of good minutes on Mike McCarthy. The Cowboys are such a hot mess. We talked about it earlier, but if you weren't listening, their defensive coordinator, Mike Nolan, he could not even conduct a Zoom news conference without becoming the story and becoming the punching bag for the football media. It is one of the great stories of our time. The Dallas Cowboy defensive coordinator was on a Zoom phone call talking about the pathetic state of the Dallas Cowboys, and he accidentally wiped Tabasco sauce into his eye and then proceeded to rub it further into his eye, not realizing that he was rubbing it further in his eye. It made for comedy gold. So, tremendous job by Mike Nolan. That sums up the coaching of the Dallas Cowboys right there. They can't even get through a Zoom news conference without getting Tabasco sauce in the eye. Now, Mike McCarthy, he made some comments as well. And he said the Cowboys are, quote, worthy of the criticism starting 2-5. He said, we're not doing the basics. Let's quit candy coating it, McCarthy stated. We need improvement each day, each week, especially before we get to Philadelphia, which is next up on the schedule. Well, no one, who's candy coating it? No one. The only one candy coating it is Mike McCarthy. He's the only one candy coating it. What do I mean by that? I'll tell you. A, when early on, when there were people calling out the Cowboy defense for being dogs with fleas and not hustling, what did Mike McCarthy do? He said, no, they're hustling. Mike McCarthy said, no, 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 don't say that. You should never say that about professional football players. Those guys are hustling. They are out there hustling. Of course, everyone knew they were not hustling, right? But McCarthy, you know, rah, rah, nah, nah, they're hustling. So he was the one who was sugarcoating it, not the media, and certainly not the Cowboy fans, although I'm sure there are plenty of Cowboy fans who do sugarcoat this kind of stuff. And I was happy to see, because I'm a sports talk show, so it makes me feel good, that an active member of the Dallas Cowboy defense has come out and said he's called out his team. He's called them weak and lacking backbone. And so I thought that was pretty good. I was like, why not? He's right. We're talking about the defensive player DeMarcus Lawrence, who called out the Cowboys for being weak and not having the backbone after their loss to the Washington football team. A bad football team themselves, the Washington football team. All right, so Ben Maller's show on Fox. We will press on. And this is a Maller math quiz. Maller math quiz. Now, do not cheat. Do not look this up. The Dodgers tonight can win the World Series with Mookie Betts. And the boys in blue can take down Tampa Bay. We certainly hope they do. Beat the Rays, win the World Series. But here's the Maller math quiz. How much have the Los Angeles Dodgers spent on player payroll since they last won the World Series in 1988? It's been 32 years. And how much, give me a ballpark figure, closest one wins. How much, without going over, same as the Showcase Showdown, how much have the Los Angeles Dodgers spent on player payroll since Oral Hershiser struck out Tony Phillips to win the 1988 World Series in the A's and Dodgers? That is the Maller Math Quiz. The answer, we'll get to it, and we will do it next.
Bro, I'm risking my life.
Hey, there it is.
If
I found it.
I should be getting money I signed to be getting paid.
Bro, I'm risking my life.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The Ben Maller Show is scientifically proven to help make time fly by while working the third shift. We have a track record of almost 20 years of nocturnal service. Help support our daily battle against insomnia by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We need your support. And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Later this hour, we're going to have Cite the Bite, the great sports radio mystery Cite the Bite. We gave you a Maller math quiz, and here it is. How much have the Los Angeles Dodgers spent on player payroll since they last won the World Series back in 1988? Closest one that doesn't go over wins. Robin Vegas says $5.5 billion. In payroll. Larger Than Life writes in, says how much money less than the Pins and more than the Cardinals? Cardinal way. I think he meant, did he mean Twins? I don't know what he meant. All right, let's see here. Double O Mexicans going with $999 million. Eddie, did you see this? Do you have a dollar amount here? Ed from Spokane said $3.7 billion. Arik said $330 billion. You want to take a guess?
I didn't see it. I can only imagine. Oh, boy. $50 billion.
Come on, Eddie.
$50 billion.
That's a lot of money, Eddie. $50 billion. I mean, that's a ton. Roberto, what do you think?
I'm going to say $5
billion. $5 billion. Okay, that's also a lot of money. Koopa Loop, what do you think? Maller math quiz.
Jesus. Coop just broke the mic and hit himself in the face with it.
Man.
Are you all right, Coop?
Concussion, dude. Yeah,
workers' comp.
I'm going to go.
He's now holding the broken microphone. Yeah.
He's holding it right now.
I've done the same thing.
Coast, $8 billion.
$8 billion, all right. I'm sorry, you all lose. You all went over. I apologize. You all went over. In the 32 seasons since the Los Angeles Dodger franchise last won the World Series, they have played 5,014 regular season games. They played 113 more in the postseason. And while playing all those games, the players on the roster have been paid $3.69 billion in player payroll over 32 years. Ed from Spokane got close. He said 3.7, but you round up, it's 3.7.
I'm not playing unless I get mine.
I understand. Think of all the stiffs that the Dodgers have paid over the years to try to win the World
Series.
Kevin
Brown.
Yeah. What was that pitcher from the Giants? Jason Schmidt, remember? Was that his name?
Oh, Jason Schmidt.
Yeah, that guy was a disaster.
Juan Pierre.
Remember they
former
got the guy
pirate great Jason Schmidt.
From the Red Sox. That was it. Derek Lowe. Remember they got him?
He was going to lead
them to the World Series.
He did get a friend out of it.
Oh, yeah, we
know that. That's a legendary L.A. media story.
Traded Pockenurkel for Jeff Shaw.
Listen, that was my guy, Jeff Shaw, man. We were tight. I loved him. He was a good guy. He used to call me Mr. Maller.
Really?
Yeah, he did. Oh, wow. I love the guy. Great guy. And his kids, one kid at least, played in the major leagues.
He played in the All-Star game for the Dodgers before he actually played in a regular season game for them.
I remember that. Yeah, remember it was the Dodgers were playing at Candlestick, and they made the trade, and Lasorda made a whole show of it. He was managing the team at the time. Cape Cod Paperboy says, I was told there would be no math. Well, no real math. It's sports radio math, which is not really real math. It's a version of math, but not real math. All right, let's go to the phones here. Eeny, meeny. I got all kinds
Brad
of
Penny, things. Like Coop says. Brad Penny, another guy.
Brad Penny? There's another one.
Traded Paula Duca for Brad Penny there.
Brad Penny, that was, Sean Green. A hot mess. Yeah, you can go down, pretty much throw any name out, and a lot of... A lot of stiffs they've picked
Gary
up
Sheffield.
Over the
Sheffield, he was good, though.
Sheffield? Yeah. But Piazza was better, though, right? I mean, Come on, let's be honest here. I mean, Piazza.
Let's not forget the, you know, we talk about the great Mookie Betts trade. Let's not forget the Pedro Martinez trade. Oh, that was a disaster.
Well, that was it was actually in that time frame, though, since 1988. So let's go to Joe, who's in Southern California, and Joe is next. Hello, Joe.
What's going on, Big Ben?
Joe and Pasadena.
I would have bet, if I had an opportunity to bet, I would have bet $1.
$1. Well, you would have won if you had played the game. You would have won.
Yeah. you know, my topic tonight, you know, obviously we're talking about the Dodgers, you know. Why, my question to you, as I know that you're a huge Dodger fan and we want to keep that dude, what's his name, Chris in Houston and all of them cheaters over there and, you know, in Astroville. And I know that Charlie Morton is now pitching for the Tampa Bay Rays. And, you know, I just hope
that they don't have it. Spit it out. Get right to it, Joe. Give me an amazing question. Give me an amazing, riveting, spellbinding question right now, Joe. Sum it up in one sentence. Go ahead.
Why in the heck does the manager of our team, Dave Roberts, continue to use Baez inning after inning when he blew it in 2017 against the Astros? He blew it in 2018 against the Red Sox. Now he's going to blow it in 2020 against the Tampa Bay Rays. Why in the heck is he? Well, that's one question, and that's really
all right.
Quick.
So you believe, you're calling your shot right now, Joe. You believe Pedro Baez will be the kryptonite that derails the Dodgers. The reason they keep throwing him out there is because he has good regular season numbers. I agree. I don't feel comfortable when he's on the mound.
Regular season is great. He played well. He was injured a little bit of this regular season. But I tell you what, I watched probably 57 of the 60 games that the Dodgers played, and he played really well when he was healthy in the regular season. But like I said,
well, you know, he's going to be in there. He's going to be. I know, Joe. He's going to be out there. But the good news is, I believe he's a free agent after the World Series. So hopefully, the Dodgers will not keep him and let him go somewhere else.
Wasn't he a free agent after 2017? And wasn't he a free agent after 2018? And why?
I'm trying to be optimistic, Joe. I'm trying to be optimistic here, and you're not being helpful. I got to go. Thank you, Joe. All right, you hate Pedro Baez. You're on the record. There you go. And I'll remember this phone call if he comes in the game Tuesday night and takes a ride on the Vomit Comet. And I'll remember this phone call from Joe in Pasadena. I will.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
All right, Ben, I know you're very excited that the NFL trade deadline is coming up because the NFL Woo-hoo! Trade deadline is so very exciting.
November. I love a good rumor, Eddie. As you know, I worked on a rumor site for years, and I love spreading gossip.
BenMaller.com.
That's right.
November
you.
3rd is the NFL trade deadline. The Dallas Cowboys have apparently made it known that defensive end Everson Griffin is available.
The old Viking.
That's right. I don't know why you'd want anyone from that horrific defense, but he's apparently one of the marquee players that is available and on the block.
I'll take him, Eddie.
You want him?
Yeah.
All right.
I need some big names.
$6 million salary.
Eddie. Yeah. I need big names to be traded, Eddie. It's good for the show. I need some big names. Couple of big names. That's what I need.
Raiders need lots of help on defense.
I'll see what I can do about that.
You make some phone calls?
Yeah.
I hear, Roberto, you somebody at the company might be able to help you out there, has inside information on the front office, wheelings and dealings. I don't know who that is, though. Anyway, all right, thank you. It is the Ben Maller Show as we press on, as we continue to filibuster the overnight hours away. And I did see Dave Roberts adding a little salt to the Red Sox wound there. He was asked about the Mookie Betts trade. He said it was a steal, Dave Roberts said. A steal. Now, I like Mookie Betts. I'm happy he's a Dodger, but it's not a steal. I mean, they had to pay him almost $400 million.
Oh, that's nothing.
It's something. I'll take some of that, but good for him getting the money.
Yeah, like $3 billion a year from Spectrum.
Well, I know. The money's all. And now the money's all there, and now the games are finally on in L.A. People can actually see the games, which is odd, because for many, many years, the games were not available.
Best player in baseball for Alex Verdugo. I'd say that's a steal.
Yeah. What else? Oh, Rob Manfred. Did you see Rob Manfred wants your sympathy? The commissioner of baseball. He did an interview with one of the business websites on Monday and said that Major League Baseball will have, quote, historic levels of debt after the COVID season. Because they haven't had fans, and they claim that, 40% of their revenue comes from fans and all that. I find it hard to have much sympathy for Rob Manfred. Call me crazy. I have a problem with that. All right, let's go to the phones, and the people would like to speak. Let's say hello to Manuel in Gardena, who's hanging out. Not in Burbank. He's in Gardena. Hello, Manuel.
Benny Bloke in Sherman Oaks.
Oh!
Tonight is the night, my man. Tell that last caller, if he has any gripes about Baez, talk to Friedman. Friedman put the roster together, not Roberts. I'm tired of people calling out Dave Roberts.
Well, come on, man. Well, you'd admit, though, that some of the pitching decisions have been shoddy, and I know.
Admit nothing, Maller. We're gonna come win on, tonight. Man. I don't want to hear no more negativity. That's it. We win tonight, Dodgers in six.
Yep. Your level of confidence, man. Well, longtime Dodger apologist in Southern California. What is your level of confidence going into Game Six right now? 1 to 10, 10 being the most confident. Is he gone?
Yes!
Oh! That's a zero! That is a zero on the scale of comments. Woo!
Bro, I'm risking my life.
That's great. That's a great job. Good job by you, Roberto, finding it. Let's go back to the phones and let's see. We had Manuel and Gardner. Let's go to Whoopi Pie Blair, who's next from the mean streets of Maine. Hello, Whoopi Pie Blair.
What's going on?
The Blair Witch Project. Woo!
What's going on, Ben?
I'm talking into a microphone, into a radio, and that's about it.
I'm big timing you again. Ha ha.
Hey, Google!
Oh,
kiss
stop.
My ass, you
How can we help you? What's going on with you, Blair? What's going on? I feel like your
kiss
calls have gotten worse
Ben
lately.
Maller.
What?
Kiss my butt and wipe it. Oh, ouch. Oh, you better drop that mic, buddy. Oh, am I throwing dishes at Ben Maller? I'm sorry. I better go back to bed. Oh, damn.
Okay, thank you. So glad we took that phone call. We are all dumber.
I can't believe you're...
We are all dumber.
I can't believe you're able to continue with the show after being set on fire like that by Blair. I mean,
he really got me, Eddie.
That is a hate crime.
I mean, wow. That was brain damage. I'm feeling it right now.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
He should have finished that by using Fozzie Bear's line, waka waka. He should have said that at the end there. So at some point, we're all going to die. And right before we die, we'll think, if we only had that few seconds that we took listening to Blair call into the show, we'd have a little more time. Just a little more time. Let's go to Credit Card Gordon in Ottawa, who is next. Hello, Credit Card Gordon. Oh, boy. It's getting better. Hold on. I hear him moving. Maybe he's cleaning out his kitchen or something like that. Huh? Hmm. Yeah. Oh, see, it only works if you snore. If you don't snore, well, we haven't had Snoring James from Minnesota call up in a couple of days, but he's the gold standard there. Good old Hollering James. All right, we'll hang up on him. Well, that was a disaster. That was one of the worst segments you'll ever hear in talk radio. No one, and I'm very proud of this, no one that does sports talk radio will have a segment today quite as El Crapo as that. That was crapola. That was manure, fertilizer, you name it, all on top. That was a rotting piece of Limburger cheese is what that was. Brutal. Brutal, 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 brutal. All right. Well, hopefully this is not brutal. We are going to have, and I'm excited about it, we're going to have Cite the Bite, the great sports radio mystery, Cite the Bite. We're going to get to that coming up here in a couple of minutes. Now, before we get to all this, now, on November 6th and 7th, the world's best thoroughbreds will compete in 14 exhilarating races worth $31 million in purses and awards at the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Learn more about the Breeders' Cup World Championships at breederscup.com/2020. It's coming up before you know. It's almost Halloween's this weekend. And then shortly after that, we go right in to the month of November. But we have Cite the Bite. That is next on the agenda, Cite the Bite. If you want to be a part of that, we only have a limited number of judges. 877-99 on Fox. We'll get to Cite the Bite, and we will do that, and we will do it next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Everyday sports radio listeners and super fans in the Maller Militia can not only hear this program live from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern, but also 24/7 on demand via the podcast. Tell your family and friends about this sports talk revolution. Subscribe to the Ben Maller Show podcast on iTunes and give us a 5-star review. It's risk-free and helps keep the lights on. And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
It's time now to Cite the Bite, where we play random generic sound bites. You know, inane sports and entertainment cliches spoken by so-called experts. And you try to tell us who's doing the talking.
All right, away we go. It is time now for Cite the Bite, the great sports radio mystery Cite the Bite, where a limited number of judges will be able to try to answer. Now, there is a golden ticket on the line, so if you get it right, you will win a golden ticket. Good luck to all involved. We'd like to have a winner on this edition of Cite the Bite. Keep calling, though. If you get a busy signal, do not stop calling. Call early and call often at 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. And let's play this week's soundbite on Cite the Bite, the great sports radio mystery.
That's all I can do. That's all I can do. That's all I can do.
All right.
That's all I can do.
Who is this person? Will anyone get this person right? The name of this particular person? That is the question. What is the answer? I am going to say... I'm going to say caller 5. Eddie?
I'm the only one who consistently names the actual person who will get the correct answer, and that will be Justin in Cincinnati.
Wow. All right, and Roberto, would you like to play our game?
Llamada número cinco.
All right. And how many runs are the Dodgers going to win by tonight, Roberto?
4 runs tonight.
4 runs. Okay. Kubalu.
I'm going to go with caller number 5.
Caller 5. Interesting. Bold move, Cotton. All right, let's play the game here. Let's start out with caller 1. Play it again.
That's all I can do.
All right. Let's say hello to Phylexis, America's favorite drag queen caller in parts unknown. Hello, Phylexis.
Hello, Ben. Hello, world. Is this Kansas City cornerback Patrick Mahomes, the Wiz?
Yes, Patrick Mahomes. That's his name, yes. No, I'm sorry, Phylexis. But Thank you for that. Let's go to caller number two, and that would be Wayne in Mizzou, one of our favorites. Hello, Wayne.
Morning, guys. Arguably one of the best players to ever pad up and protect the net, Grant Fuhr.
Oh, of course. You think hockey. You think Grant Fuhr, a goaltender for the Edmonton Oilers. All right, is it Grant Fuhr? No, I'm sorry. Sorry, Wayne. Yeah, hang up on yourself. Do the right thing. All right, time for our first clue. Basketball was his first sport, and he was a league MVP in high school. Basketball was his first sport. He was a league MVP.
That's all I can do.
In high school. All right. Very good. It's not Patrick Mahoney, according to Flexus, and Grant Fuhr from Wayne in Mizzou. Caller number three. And that would be Manuel in San Antonio, I believe. Hello, Manuel in San Antonio.
Hey, Ben. Can I hear it one more time?
Sure.
Why That's not? All I can do.
Man, I can't hear it over the phone. You played it earlier.
That's all I can do.
The quarterback. Jones. Okay. Jones from the New York Giants.
All right. Is it Jones of the New York Giants? No. But thank you for playing. Keeping up with the Joneses. Daniel Jones. All right. I know.
Bro, I'm risking my life.
I know, bro. Bro, we're all risking our lives, bro. Caller number four. Who is caller number four? Let's say hello to Steve-O, who is in Utah. Hello, Steve-O.
Yeah, is that Ryan Fitzpatrick?
All right, Steve-O in Utah. He's going with Ryan Fitzpatrick for the golden ticket. Is Steve-O right? No. But thank you for playing, Steve-O. We do appreciate it.
You betcha, Ben. Take care.
All right, thanks, buddy. Give you a nice parting gift there. We'll give you a little dial tone. Okay, here we go. Clue number two. This person was originally recruited to USC to play linebacker. Play it again.
That's all I can do.
All right, caller five. Why don't we change it up here? Let's give somebody else a chance to be caller five. Let's go to Justin in Cincinnati. Justin, what is the answer here, Justin?
Well, he's a nice guy, and I'm really rooting for him, and I'm staying positive. Sam Darnold's a nice man that plays for the Jets.
That's Have a good right. day, y'all. It's Sam Darnold.
I win again!
No, I won, Eddie. I picked caller five.
You did, I actually named the person who would win. That's way more impressive than what you did.
No.
Way more impressive.
You picked evil Justin in Cincinnati. Justin's now...
I picked Justin in Cincinnati.
No, Justin's a goody two-shoes now. No. Now
I don't
he's
care.
Mr. You, Sunshine.
You got the question? I'm risking my life.
Rainbows.
You got it right, and I named it.
Lollipops.
Very impressive.
Puppies and chocolate chip cookies, and that's Justin
now. Got a murder. Got to go.